afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Psychic Sandbox, live on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, weekly on Thursdays from 1 to 2 p.m. This is your opportunity to listen live with host psychic medium Cindy Leacock of Spirit Messages. Playfully and joyfully, the Psychic Sandbox radio show offers tools to expand your approaches to tapping into sacred energy and psychic experiences. You get to share your exciting experiences on the air, get psychic mediumship readings, or possibly win prizes. If you would like a free one-question reading today, please call in at 646-378-0378 and push number 1 to be put into the queue. I also want to remind all listeners that Cindy does not do readings until the last half hour of the show. And now I would like to give you your host, Cindy Leacock.
Hey, hi, and welcome to the Psychic Sandbox. I'll be doing one-question readings, as Courtney said, and also past life readings in the last half of the show. So I'd love you to stay with us for all the fun we're planning today in the Psychic Sandbox. Also, when you call in for a reading, I will tell you one of your major soul lessons in this lifetime, which people really appreciate, so if you'd like that as well. So also, if you call in and you have been following our Psychic Methods program, this part of the program, and you have been working toward your beginning psychic certificate, I'd love it if you would call in and share with the audience what you've experienced doing that. I'd love my students to share as much as they can to encourage other people to give it a try because it's so fun. And anybody who calls in who's been working on the Psychic Methods and has an experience will get a free reading from me, and it's worth $50. So, you know, please think about that. And if you're not going to do it today and not ready, please do it next week because we'd really like to open up the idea for everyone. And I'll tell you later about how to qualify for your beginning psychic certificate. So if you would like a reading today, again, our phone number is 646-378-0378. So my name is Cindy Leacock, and I'm your radio host today. I'm a psychic medium and a lifelong seeker on the path to enlightenment. I learned astrology in my 20s to find out my soul lessons, and then began reading for everyone and anyone who wanted their chart done. And I have developed my psychic and medium abilities over many years. If you would like a full reading with me, please go to my website and book a reading. As I said, they're $50. My website is cindyleacock.com, www.cindyleacock.com. You remember from last week that I'm giving away the free reading to anyone who's tried the psychic method. And so I just wanted to tell you that when we don't give away a free reading, we give away a free fidget spinner. Sorry, I have a little bit of a cold. So what is our psychic sandbox? What does that mean? So this is an hour just for you. This is time to just turn off regular life, take a recess from the challenges of life. And what we do is we enjoy this recess and grow spiritually and answer pressing life questions. The metaphor is about playing in the sand, which is our endless supply of divine energy, and learning how to get all that sand we need to heal, create, or develop psychic abilities. And then we play in this incredible, glowing, iridescent, golden white light. And we use it to try to do easy psychic methods to awaken our own natural abilities, as well as to help our spiritual growth. And over the last few months, we have covered pulling in divine energy by looking at methods used all over the world. We've gone to Hawaii, India, Israel, Spain, Canada, and more. And today we'll go to Egypt in the time of Moses and modern day Switzerland. So now, if you can, I would like you to go to our Tumblr blog. If you have a computer handy or your phone, I'd like you to go to Tumblr so you can see the sacred geometry I'm referring to in our discussion. I'll also be describing it, but it's so much easier if you can see it. So in your browser, put in Tumblr, T-U-M-B-L-R, and then search for Psychic Sandbox, all one word. And if you have a chance, while you're there, click on Friend. So I will start our topic while you have a chance to go to Tumblr, Psychic Sandbox, and get to the Flower of Life, the Kabbalah, and the tarot placement on the Kabbalah as we discuss it. So our topic is sacred geometry, and surprisingly, it was first received by Moses in Egypt from the great initiates who developed them as a spiritual path laid out on the Kabbalah, the Tree of Life. It looks like a diagram. If you're looking at it, it's the diagram with the circles and stairs and struts, and it's overlaid on the circle with the Flower of Life. The Flower of Life is the circle with the flower petals in it. So one of the mysteries of Moses that has been revealed is that he was initiated into the highest Egyptian order. That was why he could part the Red Sea and perform all his other miracles. He was very high and initiated. He carried with him for his people that secret, those secrets to self-knowledge and initiation. And Elizabeth H., who is from Switzerland and Hungary, I'll discuss later, was herself a great initiate. And she wrote about the tarot cards. Those people who created the tarot cards were familiar with all the different levels and states of the human consciousness. They depicted all the levels of consciousness from the first awakening to divine consciousness in 22 pictures. And I'll get to the minor arcana later. They were developed later, and they are not from the original self-realization path. She further writes that the evidence of the antiquity of the cards is because we find them in ancient Babylon, Egyptian, Mexican, Indian, Judaic, and Chinese excavations. But all that, they were all found, all, the only thing that were found there were the fragments of decks. However, the Jews preserved them in their entirety. This was due to their absolute law to never change a letter in their mystical writings, not one. These included, as written in the Tarot and Kabbalah by Semael on Weor, he wrote, Hebrew letters were preserved among the highest secrets of the mystical traditions and were completely unknown to the public. And we have talked about this a number of times in various methods to draw in divine energy, because those were kept secret among priesthoods and yogis when they didn't feel that humans were ready to be initiated into these secrets. But in the 20th century, all these secrets started becoming known, and now they're all on the internet. The secrets of the Hebrew teachings were only written in consonants. And so the key to the vowel insertions were in the Sefer Yetzirah, the Zohar, which we talked about with Abram Avalafia. And the Zohar contains the tarot and the Calicula Salomonis. And you don't have to worry about any of this. I'm just trying to give you the background of the beautiful, very high consciousness that this tradition comes from. The tarot is an ancient sacred method of acquiring information for spiritual insight, and laid out on the Kabbalah, along the Kabbalah, is the science of numbers, and you can see that where the picture just of the Kabbalah at the very top, and it reveals the structures of everything that exists. So by knowing the Kabbalah, you also know the way out of suffering. So I would take a good look at that. There's a lot of suffering right now. And if we can find a way out of that, I'm all for it. If you can see on the blog, there's a layout of the tarot. So the tarot cards are laid out and describe the spiritual paths. So today I will describe the path of Cheth, but first I will start with the description of the Kabbalah just itself. Okay, so everybody take a look at the circle, and that is the flower of life. Okay, the flower of life is a mathematically precise representation of all the information in the universe. If you look at it in different ways, like you cut a tomato in half or you cut an apple in half, like, you know, there's different shapes, all of these things you can put right on the flower of life, because everything is created according to these natural laws. The Kabbalah, which is the natural law of humanity, is just like that. So we can find all the information we need as humans on the Kabbalah. And you may see that picture farther down of the human being lined up with the Kabbalah laying on top of the flower of life. So the 22 paths of the tree of life, you can see the paths are like the struts that go between the circles. This is so cool. In the Kabbalah, these reflect the 22 primeval vibrations that form the Hebrew alphabet. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago, that each word in the Hebrew alphabet is a vibration. It's almost an entity. And the sound, the form, the meaning are all coordinated in one cohesive whole. So each is a different manifestation of a singular profound essence. And as you see in the image there, the tree, and you see that, the tree embeds within the geometrical form known again as the flower of life, and it's evident throughout all of our living systems. And it is represented in countless ancient cultures, and especially in architecture. So take a moment to kind of feel the significance of this universal recognition of coherence, that everything is one and it all is designed perfectly. So there's 22 letters, and those represent the tarot cards. And the 22 go between what those circles are called, the sephira, and they act as a chain of emanation of various qualities of the soul. And so there's three pillars of those qualities. One of them is on the left, severity and destruction. And those are the hard ones for everybody. On the right is a pillar of mercy and creation, and it's the sweet spot for humanity. And the middle pillar is the pillar of mildness and harmony. And we all love that. It's the heart. It's wisdom, it's brilliance, it's oneness. And so that middle pillar is really nice to be working on. But today I'm going to take you along the path of Cheth. Again, that's a Hebrew letter. It has its own vibration, Cheth. And what it means in our path to knowledge is our destiny. So Cheth is what has happened and what will happen in our life that is destined. And so the tarot card, you may be familiar with this, if you are familiar with the tarot, is the Chariot. And so in a traditional tarot pack, it depicts like a martial warrior standing in a square chariot pulled by two galloping horses, and the figure stands firmly between the pillars. And that supports a canopy or a veil. And on each shoulder is a male or female or a sun or a moon. Now, the warrior holds no reins, and that's the key. He is an emblem of energy, judgment, balance, and control. And only one who knows his own powers and can assess and judge the situation second by second can maintain such balance in a chariot, borne along as he is by the turning wheels of an earthly chariot drawn by powerful and natural energies. And these may often pull in different directions. Like if you think about your family, just think about your relationships with your family. They often pull you apart. There's all kinds of things going on in your family and different directions people are taking and different arguments people are having. And so your role, if you were in the chariot, would be to stand in balance and self-control with no judgment, with a lot of energy, if you were to master the path of Cheth. So that gives us an idea of one of the paths that we would follow to attain self-realization or self-knowledge. And together, the tarot and the Kabbalah energize and clarify your spiritual life. So instead of wandering in guesses all the time and beliefs that we have and assumptions that one can know for oneself with certainty, it's in the cards. And yet, the real use of the cards is not well known today. The tarot readings are not usually done with the spiritual understanding needed, although tarot readers bless their cards and they pull in divine energy, and many of them are psychic and are able to get from spirit the higher intention of the cards. But the cards themselves no longer reflect the original decks. So I will read. This is our way of drawing in divine energy today. So I'm going to read from Elizabeth H.'s Wisdom of the Tarot. And I'd just like you to close your eyes and listen. For the person who understands them, these cards are a wonderful means of acquiring self-knowledge. The nature of these cards is such that they can produce a strong awakening effect on man's unconscious or woman. He need only examine them one by one in order to understand them better and read the relevant description. When you reach the card corresponding to your inner state, your interest will be suddenly roused, and the knowledge that you find yourself at this level of consciousness in that particular card will hit you like an electric shock. This card will understand you completely, your full meaning of life and in the depths of your being, and you will feel a very strong response. So these cards help us to awaken our unconscious to consciousness so that we can acquire self-knowledge, a thorough understanding of ourselves that can be testified by anyone who has picked them up and examined them one by one. And I certainly will support that. They are like a spiritual mirror in which we can only recognize ourselves if we examine them and study ourselves. So we realize in a strange way, certain cards correspond exactly to our inner state and at the same time also to our state in relation to the world. And we suddenly understand ourselves and our destiny. So Elizabeth H. taught yoga in Switzerland starting after World War II. She was from Hungary, so she's got a bit of a varied background. But in her process, she became a great self-realized initiate, and she died in 1994. So for most of us, her life overlapped with ours, but we don't hear much about her. Her book and tarot card deck that she recommends is the highest spiritual teaching of the tarot coming from the original creation from spirit. So again, is on the blog, The Wisdom of the Tarot, and the deck of tarot cards is the Golden Worth Tarot. So you'll find this reference on the blog, and there's controversy over the history that I've told you because that's natural considering its ancient origins, but I would trust Elizabeth H. due to her knowledge of the highest wisdom. Now, the minor arcana were added later. So for those of you who aren't too familiar with the tarot, that would be like the coins, the wands, the swords, and pentacles. And they all have minor meanings with the personal aspects of life. But the original deck and meanings have been changed and distorted. Unfortunately, some cunning people stole and modified a portion of the protected readings, and over the centuries, that stolen knowledge passed through Egypt, Arabia, and finally into Europe by the Gypsies. The Gypsies were so called because they came from Egypt, and they were famous for their tarot readings. And eventually, it's become what we probably, popularly refer to as the tarot, a deck of cards marked by seemingly absurd images and symbols. And over the centuries, it has degenerated. It's been rearranged. It's been misinterpreted. It's been misused. But in spite of its troubled history, the real tarot continues to exist. The Worth Tarot has the most accurate images of any known today. And these images have always existed in spirit. Each of the tarot cards comes from a Hebrew letter, Hebrew number. So we know that it is an emanation. It is an emanation. The pictures emanate out an aspect of your own consciousness. And as you flip through the meanings of the deck, you will find your emanation. You will find where you are on your spiritual path. And that is so helpful to know, because it also helps you know how to move forward, what's next. And like they said, it really gets you out of your suffering. So again, these tarot pictures always existed in spirit, and never have we needed them more than we need today. And I mean today. So I really highly recommend getting this Worth Tarot deck and her book if you are interested in learning more about yourself. So today's psychic method is going to be on a psychic technique of visualization to make psychic contact with that emanation from one of the tarot cards. And I chose a card with the intention that it would have divine meaning for all of you today. So this card is related to your own spiritual development. Now, I want to emphasize that this card is an emanation from the flower of life, the circle with all the petals that represents all the mathematics and details of the universe. Then on top of that is the Kabbalah, which represents humanity's emanation and all the information we have about the development of humanity at every level of consciousness. So what I'm going to do is have you close your eyes, and I'm going to have you do an imagination exercise that is a psychic exercise where you are going to go inside the tarot card that was given to all of us today. So close your eyes and enter into stillness and create a picture. And you're in the picture of the card in your mind. Put yourself in the picture as I describe this card to you. Now, the picture is of a woman, so if you're a man, you want to sit across from her, that's fine. Or if you want to enter into your own feminine nature, that's fine. We see a young woman without a veil. Her beautiful face freely reveals her nature. She faces us, looks into our eyes. She does not wish to hide anything from us. She wears a triple pointed crown on her head. This denotes that she is queen of the three aspects of life, birth, life, and death. It also means that she reigns over space, over the three dimensions. She is ruler of the whole cosmos, the queen of the whole universe. She is the queen of heaven, that nature, that aspect of God, which is procreative and feminine. She is nature. She is the nature in humans. She is human nature. She sits perfectly motionless on her throne, just as her laws, also inflexible and unchangeable in nature. She bears in her nature the great secret, the mystery whereby the spirit unites with matter and the divine becomes the human. This is the mystery of procreation. She herself, however, is the chaste, great virgin, who brings forth myriads of living creatures without having been touched by man. The two worlds, this world and the spirit world, which is in the case of the high priestess, were still separated, are united in the Queen of Heaven. She lives in the spirit world and in the physical world. She holds sway over the spiritual and the material worlds because she has the power to join them together or to keep them apart. It rests with her and her laws whether a spirit embodies itself in this world and is born, or whether such an embodied spirit frees itself from the material world and the body dies. Her head is framed by a white circle, symbolizing the immaculate purity which she radiates. In the circle, we see 12 stars, three of which are hidden behind her head. These 12 stars are the signs of the zodiac. The 12 spheres of heaven, as it were, by which her dominion over the universe is symbolized. She has a pair of large, light blue wings, which, when spread out, enable her to hover above infinite space and to fly. Her tight-fitting dress is red, suggesting that her innermost being is completely spiritual and completely positive. The yellow edging of that cape shows her superior reason, which she manifests through the brains of men. And then across her lap and right arm is draped a blue azure robe, and it covers her legs and falls to the ground, and the robe is a brilliant blue color, symbolizing the infinite stars which are in her kingdom. So here is a woman of immaculate purity. The green inside her blue robe signifies her goodwill and her sympathy to all living things, to all her children. So she is the ultimate compassion, the ultimate pure love of the mother. She loves human nature. She loves earth nature. She is the goddess over everything and all things, and she is the feminine. And I want you to take this inside yourself. Take all this emanation of this female, this compassion for yourself, mercy for yourself, love for yourself, love of your human nature, love of the earth nature. Take that emanation in. Take that into your heart. Fill yourself with the divine love of the mother. Pull that into your heart. Pull that divine energy into your heart. And rub it up. Bring it to its highest point. Love, so much love. So much love in your heart. This is the Queen, the number 3, the letter Gimel in the Hebrew alphabet. Okay. So you can open your eyes now. And we're going to go to some psychic readings in a minute. This is the second half of our show. And I just want to invite anybody who has questions about sacred geometry to go to my website. On the back page, there is an email, place to send me email. I'd be happy to give you more information, more references. It is one of the most appealing aspects to me of self-realization. When I first found out about it, I just naturally understood how perfect it was, and I have seen it used over and over again in crop circles. The crop circles constantly carry messages from sacred geometry. So again, my website is www.cindyleacock.com, CindyLeacock. And Courtney, I'm ready to take callers.
Can I just ask, Cindy, what you just said about the goddess, is that something that you wrote or is that a passage that you found?
So this is found in the Wisdom of the Tarot by Elizabeth H. And I also put in my own words, you know, as I was doing the meditation with everybody. But I used hers was the basis, again, mm-hmm. as I used the history. A lot of that came from her. Some of it came from We Are, Samaya We Are. And all those, again, all those references can be found on the blog.
Awesome. I just think it was very beautiful, so I wanted to ask. And then I did have a quick question about the tarot. And I don't know if you knew this or if you've heard of this, that the original 22 majors were actually designed in a spiritual context to explain someone's complete life path. I don't know if you've heard that before.
That is exactly what I was trying to get across, that mm-hmm. the 22 major arcana were designed specifically to help people on their spiritual path to enlightenment.
Yeah, everybody avoids them because they're life lessons.
Yeah, 55 of school. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, awesome. Well, let's bring on one of your callers. And I just want to remind everybody, if you're interested in a psychic reading, please call in at 646-378-0378. And your first caller is Dee Dee, and she's calling from Southern California. Welcome to the show, Dee Dee.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Dee Dee. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. Thank you.
Have you called in before?
I don't believe I have.
Okay. Well, welcome. Welcome to the show. I'm so glad you called. What have you got for me today?
Well, my daughter is about ready to give birth to my very first grandchild. And she's currently living with the father of the baby. I'm just wondering if you see him committing to her, in marriage. How do you see this whole thing working out between the two of them?
Okay, great question. Great question. Before I start, I need to get the vibration you're coming from, and would you do that by telling me your first and middle name twice?
Yes, it's Exodus Deneen. Exodus Deneen.
Okay. And your birthday?
It's 5/27/65.
That's okay. You don't have to give me the year. I'm sorry. I didn't specify that. Okay. So let me just take a look here at your daughter, first of all. And you say she's pregnant with a boy?
Yes.
Okay. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
Okay. I see that she's very healthy. She's very, very warm-hearted. She's feeling very, very warm toward the baby. She's expressing in her aura tremendous will to take care of this child. Okay, now let me look at the father. Okay, the father is all over the place. He is scared. He's worried. Okay, let's see what else I get here. He's got a nice connection with your daughter. There is a nice connection there of love. But he is really going up and down with his feelings right now. So hang on just a second. Let me see about marriage. Okay. Yes, I do see that they are going to get married.
Okay.
They don't have a really, really strong feeling about marriage. Like some people just, you know, that shows up to me as being really, you know, strongly wanting to get married. They are feeling mm-hmm. tentative, at least right mm-hmm. now. they are feeling very tentative, but it appears to me that they will marry. So,
okay.
All right.
So,
do you want to know your life lesson?
Of course.
Okay. So, one of the things we all do, and so, you know, you'll say, oh, yeah, of course I do this. But you in particular, throughout your life, have been learning lessons about proper communication, like when to say something, when not to say something, how to say it, what to say, you know, teaching people, you know, not being an authority. So it's always, you know, trying to figure out how to express or not express a thought, a feeling. Does this make sense to you?
Yes, it does. I oftentimes am too transparent, and I've kind of always been that way, and I'm kind of learning to not be so, not to always say what's on my mind, because sometimes it's a good time and other times it's not. So that's been a tough one for me.
That's your lesson, and it, you know, comes out in timing. When is a good time to say something, as well as should I say it at all? Those are the two questions you might ask yourself.
Okay.
All right. Well,
thank you.
Okay, thank you for calling in, Dee Dee.
Thank you.
Okay.
Awesome. Up next, we have Kathy from Georgia. Welcome to the show, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Kathy. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. So what is your question today?
I have a job situation. I'm waiting to see if I'll get in-person interview for a senior manager of corporate accounting. So what do you see around it?
Okay. And could you tell me your first and middle name, please? Two times?
Kathy. I don't have a middle name. Kathy.
Okay. How do you spell Kathy?
K-A-T-H-Y.
With a K. Okay. That helps. All right. And what is the date of your birthday? Not the year, just the day and the month.
August 20th.
Okay. All right, so I'm looking for the job situation. All right. Okay, when I look into your aura, what I see is that you bring a lot of heart to work. You bring a lot of kindness, and you reach out to people, and you have a real, wow, it's just verdant. It's really full and growing. I mean, you are really a blessing to the people around you, and they count on that. So I see, however, that something has taken your sense of, I don't want to say self, but something's happened that caused you to really doubt yourself or hurt you. You've had a difficult time till this job interview. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And I haven't gotten the interview yet, so I just...
Okay. All right. So let me just look and see about the job itself. Do you have a first name of who you'd be reporting to?
I'm not sure, so because I was given a name, but I think it's the HR recruiter and not the hiring manager, so I'm not sure.
Okay.
It was the hiring manager, but I wasn't. Do you want me to give you the name regardless?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't want to truth tell untruth.
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying.
Candace
is fine. Yeah, that's fine. I just wanted to tune into that. Okay. Okay, Candace is a very strong person. She's very strong-willed. She overpowers the people around her. She's intimidating. She likes to intimidate people. But I see that you will get the job. She sees you as being at her level of, what's the word? Like expectation. You meet her expectations. So I would come into that interview extremely well prepared with documents of things that you've created in the past. Like if you have some work products, make yourself a portfolio and, you know, have yourself really, really well prepared to explain all your accomplishments. And that will really go a long way with her. And don't let her intimidate you.
Okay.
All right.
Do you have any timing around when they'll call me?
Let me look at that, okay? Hang on just a second. I see you starting the job in the winter. Probably would be end of December. So the hiring process is going to take a long time.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Now, would you like to hear your soul lesson?
Yes, please.
Okay. So you are a very powerful and strong person yourself. And you've always worked on how to use that power and when not to overpower somebody. This is kind of like Candace, only she hasn't learned yet how to not overpower people. She just has this raw power. And so for you, meeting Candace will be like a mirror of seeing how somebody hasn't learned how to dial it back. And so you will be a more mature person in that area who knows how to command a situation but not need to, you know, show it off, you know, be, oh, what do I want to say? I'm having a hard time with thinking my words today. You just don't want to impress upon her that you're the big shot, you know, just that you're strong and you like your power and you live inside your own hoop. So that's how you'll use it in this particular situation. All your life, you've learned this about power, and you will continue to do so, especially as a senior manager. So, you know, it's all about how to use power. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, Kathy.
Awesome. Up next, we have Julia, and Julia is calling from Texas. Welcome to the show, Julia.
Well, thank you very much. How are you all doing today?
I'm doing really good, Julia. It's really nice that you called in. I've never had a caller from Texas. I'm just so glad to hear from you.
Well, oh, fantastic. I'm in Austin.
Oh, yeah. I have a family that live in Austin. Okay, so what have you got for me in terms of a question?
Oh, yeah, I love it here. So amazing. Every day gets better and better.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering about romance, what you get from your guides and spirit about that, what I can do, if anything, other than, of course, you know, I pray and I talk to my angels and guides and I'm tuned in and tapped in and turned on that way. But anything, if I've already met the person, if there's someone coming in, romance.
Okay. All right. That's one of my specialties. I'm kidding.
Beautiful.
I do everything. But I particularly love just look at romance.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Okay, so what I see is that you have had some relationships it's been erratic in terms of, you know, the length of time that they've lasted. Like some of them have been long and others have been short, and some of them not very fulfilling. Would that be something sound familiar to you?
That's very true, yes.
Okay. All right, let's see what we're looking at now. Okay. I see and hear you are a real sweetheart. And your aura is shining like a really sweet pink. And so you're really ready for a relationship. Now, let me just call in my spirit guide to talk to me a little bit about a coming relationship or an existing one. Okay. Okay, I see a man who has very dark hair and dark glasses. He's carrying a briefcase. He walks in a very determined way. He has a sense about him of business. He's in business. I see that you will meet him in a casual setting. It'll just be like you're introduced to him in a casual setting. But I don't believe you know him now. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah, sure. I do tend to lean towards darker complected and darker hair men. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Great. What, is there something else you'd like to know about that?
Well, the briefcase threw me off a little bit. I don't want to be biased or judgmental as far as that goes, because I guess that can mean many things. Where I am right now is I'm a transpersonal healer. So I do a lot of the spiritual kind of work like what you do. And so I guess that just for me, I'm relating it to someone who's a little more corporate, right? Like corporate world. So I guess I'm stereotyping there. So that did throw me a little.
Well,
you have
you.
Mm-hmm, go ahead.
I was just saying, but we know, you and I know, the briefcase just could be symbolic of his stride, and just sort of, he's in some kind of business. He's a business oriented person, but it doesn't mm-hmm. necessarily mean he's in a corporate business job. So,
okay.
Yeah, I would just take that as a symbol.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and do you
just
happen
to give
to
you
see
more information.
Who I'll be linked to that will introduce me, or if it'll be a group or a particular, you know, someone I already know, a friend?
Okay. What I see is that you are in a building, and you are by some, you're at the front, and there's glass, like a glass door.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a pillar behind him, and there's another, I think, a male that's introducing you to him. How do you know that male? Let me just see here if I can figure it out.
Okay.
He's sandy haired. He's got on like an alligator shirt. Okay. All right. That's it. That's all I see. I don't know how you know him or where you know him from, but he introduces you to the other man.
Okay.
Now, I'm hearing the word cliff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it could be the name or could be, you know, last name, Cliff.
Okay.
I don't, you know, so just that word, we'll just toss that into the mix.
All right.
Would you like to hear your soul lesson?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay. What is the day and the month of your birth?
9/8.
And would you say your name for me two times?
Julia Marie. Julia Marie.
Okay. All right. Julia Marie. All right. Okay, so you are, as you said, you are in the healing professions. You are a healer. You are always able to see in a situation like we were looking at with the Kabbalah and the flower of life. You're able to see intuitively how something should line up with that perfection. And you have that template like in your intuition. And so when you're working with somebody, you're able to kind of point out to them what they're moving toward, or you see it. And so part of your lesson is seeing it and how to communicate it. And so you also do this for yourself. So the lesson in this is when do you use that knowledge? When do you use that knowledge on yourself or on others? Is it to be critical, informative, and gentle and compassionate? Is it given in a harsh way? You know, do you judge people after they leave your office? You know, so those are some aspects of the lesson. Does that make any sense to you in this context?
Yeah, it does. I think that, totally. And I can see that happening with myself and with friends and clients doing readings, the way I deliver it and being gentle and being mindful of not being judgmental and really checking myself if that does come up. So, yeah,
Great. Oh, you're really welcome. Thanks for calling, Julia, and enjoy Austin.
I will. Have a beautiful day. Love you. God bless.
Thanks for calling. Thanks. Love you, too. God bless you.
Bye. Awesome. Well, we're down to the last 7 minutes of the show, Cindy, so I'm going to give it back to you, okay?
Yeah, that's fine. So those of you who have been working with your psychic methods for your beginning psychic certificate, all of the methods are up on the blog now for you to use. And for those of you who are working on this, please call next week so we can get some other experiences online and have other people hear you talk about how things are going with the way that it's working for you doing these different methods. So the first one we covered was when you focus both eyes on the chakra between the eyebrows, and then around that third eye, we pretended to spin a purple flower until it was going really fast, and we asked spirit to show us an object psychically. So that was practicing clairvoyance. And then next week, on the second method, was asking spirit a pressing question about your life, by again focusing on your eyes on the chakra between your eyebrows, and then around the third eye, you pretend to spin that purple flower, and then ask spirit, what is your question, and either hear the answer or see a symbol representing the answer. And we've talked about this, that you may not get something when you're sitting down doing this, but it may come to you later in the week. So this is a practice of clairaudience and clairvoyance. And the third method, we were working with the Hebrew letters. It's pulling together two Hebrew letters, Vav and He, together in the third eye. And this is clairvoyance in the fourth dimension. So what I want you to do is to write down how long and how many tries it took for you to get those two letters to come together in the middle chakra. So I'd like you to then go to number four and raise the vibration in your heart chakra to the highest level of love. We worked on that a little bit today. And that was spinning the green flower in the middle of your chest. And then pretend you are blowing your breath out of your heart and inhaling in the golden energy of the divine light. So turn that dial up on that love and really feel it and sit there and enjoy it for a minute. And I love this quote. Eckhart Tolle said, "Your task is not to search for love, but to find a portal through which love can enter." So you are creating a portal to your heart, and love is already there. The divine light is always, always, always here for us at any time we want to pull it in. And then in week five last week, we went over the present moment where you see the past, which is dim, the future, which is dim, and then you come back to the present moment, and it's the only time that is illuminated in the moment right now. Right now, the moment is illuminated. And that is one of the most basic pieces that you need in order to do any psychic work is concentration. Stay in a concentrated state in the power of now. And then today we learned about visualization and making psychic contact using a tarot card. So you can pick a card randomly from the deck, use the major arcana, and examine the picture, enter into stillness, close your eyes, and what does that card say to you? And write it down, because it's specifically for you. So that is the one of the homeworks I'm giving you for next week. So since we've been doing past life readings, I just really wanted to share this story with you about Jillian and Jennifer Pollock. They were identical twins that were born in Northern Umberland, England, on October 4th, 1958. They died in a horrible car accident. They were killed while they were walking, and 11 and 6 when they died. So I need to back up here and just say Jillian and Jennifer were the identical twins that were born after these two daughters were killed. So the original daughters were Joanna and Jacqueline. Joanna was 11 and Jacqueline is 6. And the parents had all kinds of evidence when the twin girls were born that they were the reincarnations of Joanna and Jacqueline, who had been killed by that car driving onto them in the pavement of the street. They knew songs. They knew which toys they had. They, you know, the parents knew which one was Joanna, which one had been Jacqueline. They showed behavior that corresponded to each deceased sister. Like Jennifer was really dependent on her older sister, Jillian, and just as Jacqueline had been dependent on her older sister, Joanna. And when the twins learned to write, Jillian readily held a pencil between her fingers and her thumb, but Jennifer grasped her pencil in a fist, and Joanna had been able to write correctly for some years before her death, whereas Jacqueline had still persisted in holding it in her fist. So this is from the book by Ian Stevenson, who is the foremost authority on past lives, and I really encourage you to read From Children Who Remember Past Lives by Ian Stevenson. I know that, you know, anybody who calls into this show probably has no trouble believing in past lives, but if you'd like to read an interesting book about it, this sure is one. So, well, I hope everyone will stick with us, come back next week, hear some more exciting information, and we will talk to you next time. Please bring an example of an experience that you've had and get ready to share that with us. And thank you so much and have a great week. Bye.